You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
I'm Jason. This is Sam, Shannon, Stuart, John, Amy, and Mike. And this is our final living room session of the So What series. So glad that you're here. Glad that we get to engage with this again. This is the fourth one of these? Third one of these? I don't know. Fourth. This is the first one without donuts. I'm disappointed that I didn't call Kent and say, bring the donuts. It just escaped me. So it'll be a little bit less than of a morning because of that. Sorry. But first, let me again say some thank yous. Todd Gilchrist has... just over and over and over been a part of this series in practical ways, moving things, but then in other ways of undergirding it with your protection. So thank you. Thank you, Todd. This piece of art up here, Coley Kuiper designed this. Thank you for that. Every time we do one of these living rooms, Shannon gets excited because she gets to be creative up here. So thank you, Shannon, for adding this little
set decoration,
little stuff in here. Thank you to Karen Draper, who had this vision of having our kids memorize this passage. And last week, if you were here, you got to experience them rapping it, singing it, create something like that. Brian and Kristen Nunley got together and created that, and then Chris Gardner and the middle schoolers were here. It was beautiful. So thanks to Karen for that. And thank you guys for giving us questions and responding to the app and the texts and bringing your thoughts week after week after week of here's what I heard and here's, could you go more into that? And every Tuesday afternoon we would gather and we would talk about what you brought to us. Yeah. And it would truly shape what we were doing that next Sunday or the following Sunday. And that was really meaningful for us that you guys did that. So really thank you to each and every one of you who responded in that way. So big, big shout outs to all of you. And now we're here this morning. Yeah. So you want to guide us through the reading of Scripture?
Absolutely. You guys, will you all stand? Let's do this one more time. Oh, it's up here. It's up here. That's good.
Yay.
But if you want to read it off here, boy, I hope this stays up for a while, even when we're in another series. Join me in this. I ask
the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence.
Amen. One. Boom. Nathan, can you pull that slide up of Julie's recap of each of the weeks. Oh, wow. So maybe you saw this on the update that Julie sends out every Thursday. We have had week after week after week of beauty. Now, we started this series. It started truly with a walk that John and I were taking. And in the middle of that walk, somewhere an hour into that walk, we said, I think we just discovered our next series. And then we sat down and we put some pencil and paper to what it might look like. And we came up with this idea that we wanted to talk about the implications of walking with Jesus. We wanted some real practical topics that would let us talk about what does this look like every day in our real relationships to put into practice what Jesus has already put in us. And so we did some parenting talks. We did a week on depression, and Stuart did a week on government. I'm not sure if any of those keep going. We did, we talked a little bit about Saturday and the waiting of what happens in the midst of our pain. You can keep going if you want. I don't think everyone's going to read every single one of those right this moment. But it's been beautiful. And here we are today wrapping it up. And we're hoping this morning you would have ears to hear each other. This morning we want to give a chance for us to share snippets and for you to share. So we're hoping that everyone has ears to hear and would be encouraged with Jesus in each other. So that we would go out filled with the hope that we can keep walking in this way of Jesus. So in a few minutes, I'm going to ask open invitation for you guys to share what got stirred in you, what got revealed in you, what got challenged in you, what difference did Jesus make in you during these weeks that we were here doing this. And so just 60 seconds, really 60 or 80 seconds is all we're asking for, okay? So some of you might not want to even stand up because you might have 640 seconds of something to share. But just a short little snippet so that we could be encouraged by what Jesus has done in you. And I've asked these guys to prepare ahead of time their 60 seconds, and we're going to start. So we're going to kick it off and share, here's what has happened in us from one of these messages or a thought or a conversation or something like that.
And I think it's good to say, for the first time, we haven't rehearsed this.
Yeah.
So we don't we don't know what the others are going to say, so this could get really ugly.
Really fast.
So, Stu, I'm picking you first.
Okay.
Hit it. And I'm not exactly going to watch my clock, but I'm going to feel 60 or 80 seconds, and then I might just jump in and say, we're going to keep going.
Enough already. So play them off. Two things that struck my mind as I was thinking about this. The first one was that message that I preached about government and politics. It's interesting because I've had so many conversations with people after that, talking about various aspects of that. The only thing I wish that I had had more time to talk about specifics, but if I had, it would have been a 3-day message instead of just, you know, 30 minutes. So the other thing was the one I preached last Sunday about rest. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And I said, well, that's what we all need to hear, because all of us need rest. If not today, then tomorrow or the next day. And Jesus is the source of that. So it just really spoke to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stu.
You're welcome.
It's been a great gift having you in this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Beautiful. Sam? What got stirred, revealed?
Revealed is the word that sticks with me when you and I were talking about the question.
Yeah.
There was quite a few, but an old one that I know my wife and I and my kids, too, in my parenting, really revealed scripture when we were talking about, John, you taught on that, how do we bring to an end this competitive thing with those we love the most? And it wasn't new news that I can compete with my wife. I can compete with my wife which one's right in, more right or some version related to our parenting and how we should respond to something. We can compete with each other in so many aspects of our time and what we're going to do. So that wasn't new news, but Galatians 5:20, that enmity strife jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions hit so close to home that morning. And it just struck me, and it was revealing, going, God, I've moved through that scripture in application to so many things, but not in the close to home places that I go to. Mm. And go to, not just, oh, I do that, but I go to as a crutch, as a defense, as a tool, as a weapon against those I love the most. Yeah. So it was really revealing. And I'm going to probably blow 60 seconds out of the water.
I don't think you could do 60 seconds.
But that I create your statement and your slides are now folded and in my Bible and going, I create a relationship of law. Oh, my gosh, I do that in I'm leaning in my flesh. In this book. I rob us of the sense of her, my wife, I love dearly, of a sense of worth. I try to love each other while resenting each other. Oh, my gosh, we can do that. And yeah, we have wonderful seasons without this, but really revealing that, and then the cause, you also had this wonderful list. John sometimes does lists. And
every once in a while.
And great ones that bring it really close to home in my every day. So that was really, really revealing. And then the hope that it took me to in the same passage in verses 25 and 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Yeah. New language that wasn't just a banner cry, but okay, how do I go home that Sunday afternoon and walk in this, where I don't pick up the weapon, and instead I let us become not become boastful, challenging to one another. Oh my God, show me how I lean into your Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So really revealing. Mm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful. The hope that this would stir conversations throughout the week, that you would walk away and keep talking about it wherever you were, whatever you were doing, whoever you're with, happened for us. It happened for us right here. We kept doing that. So it was our experience as well, what we hoped for you.
Mike's ready.
Amy, your 60 seconds.
Sure.
Oh, well, your turn.
He's like prepped.
I'm just checking to make sure my mic works.
Oh,
but I can go.
Just
yeah.
A mic check. You want to go? Because I asked Amy to go. Mike and Amy are married.
Hi, dear.
Yes.
Ooh. Touche. You know what? One of the biggest things I loved about this series is how we did so many psalms. We did Psalm 34. We did Psalm 42. We did Psalm 73. That was cool. It was kind of like an inadvertent way to kind of remind us of the beauty, the what difference worship makes in my life. And you guys remember when I was talking about that. But honestly, the thing that I loved is that the my favorite Sunday was when John was talking about depression, because like we saw so many of us struggle with this, but I think those nuggets of wisdom that the Holy Spirit gave him that he was just blowing up on the screen were just huge for me. This one, the goal of the Christian life is not what you can produce, but how you can learn to depend on Christ in what you cannot produce. That was huge for me. And this other one, the best question to ask is not, when will this get all better, but was that you, my God? Mm-hmm. Working in my circumstances that I learned to depend on him. So I'm realizing the so what is all about the Holy Spirit. The so what is learning to listen to, learning to trust, learning to follow the Spirit of Christ in me. It's so simple. Sometimes we complicate it so much, but it's so simple. Yeah. God, was that you? What are you doing? Where are you? You know, this is your thing. You're doing it. This is not my project, not my thing to own, my goal. This is your working through me. So it's been big for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can I build on Mike's?
Yes.
And so I loved when we would stand and read together. It was just something powerful and hearing all of our voices. I loved that. And I loved just this verse and just everything that would just pour out. It's truth. It's who we are. And, so one of the things I get to do is sometimes people trust me with their story, and I get to sit in a sweet conversation of people sharing their pain. And we always get to this place of, so what? You know, like, of I'm hurting so bad, and life is so hard, and now what? And I love that I get to point here, that this is the only answer, Jesus, his power over that pain, over sin, like, that's it. And that it isn't a work harder and make that happen. It's could you just lean into that and trust that? And they go, I don't even know what that means. Well, let's just sit in that. Like, it's this beautiful, safe place. So what is Jesus is, that's huge. Without that, We're hopeless.
Yeah.
Like, good luck fixing that. But with that, like, the hope is profound. And right. And the reality is, it's, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means, could we have eyes to look for him? Could we wait upon him? Could you just lean into that? Could you let me trust him for you until you are ready to trust him? Like, just love the application of this every day.
Mm. Thanks, Shannon. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to share yet your 60 seconds, but I want to ask, what was, tagging off of Mike, the depression message like for you with all that stirred in you and the history of that? What was that like for you?
Do you know that I've taken it so many places now?
Oh, wow.
It is
I didn't know that.
This little thing that we did, I just gave it last Friday night back in Washington, D.C.
Such an important message.
It's become... Wow. It's I don't want it to be, but it's become, people want to talk to me about depression. I'm going, hey, happy, joy. You know,
it's the depression guy.
Wrong message to lead with, but it
is. But it's so relevant.
It's become a beautiful gift from this community.
Sweet.
Now.
I didn't know that. That's fun. Fun that influence goes out. Before you. We're going to take a pause from us and just come out here. We'll come back to us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I feel like we've had it. We've had a good run.
Yeah.
Let's get out here. And this is someone who I asked to prepare beforehand. Oh. So you want to share too?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Ed's going to share. Ed's going to lead it off. Then we'll come back to Patty.
One of the things that I really picked up from the Grace series and this series. Is the Holy Spirit. Mm. I knew he was there, but I didn't know why. Mm. Bill Thrall brought that out for me. Oh. And in order to hear that, I had to be able to use the ear. Mm. The Holy Spirit got with me beforehand. With the help of my daughter, Catherine, we got these hearing aids that we now have for people here that, like me, got bad ears. The Spirit then, I understood how he works, and Bill Thrall did the final part of it in telling me how he works. He's with me all the time.
Amen.
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 Every minute of the day.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ed.
So this is a picture of my desk at work. And the pink post-it notes that you see across there are these verses that are on the wall. And when they first talked about memorizing them, I tried. But I really wanted this in front of me in my everyday. And so as the verses came out, I just started writing them down, and I added them all the way across the front, and they were in between my keyboard and my monitor. But that was me every day. Like, I wanted it in front of my eyes every day so I could be in it. And I really felt like the beginning of this, I asked the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Yeah. That the Holy Spirit, like Ed was saying, really spoke to me in that, and your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Mm. That part of that really took hold of my heart during this series. And where I really got convicted in one of the weeks was in the living room series, where Sam talked about he'd been through a sin issue in his life, and then he had a good friend who was then going through the sin issue, and the desire to speak into that so strong and say and tell him where he was wrong and tell him where he was sinning and tell him where he was, where he knew better, because he'd been there and he'd done that. And I did that in such a hard and bad way with one of my kids, and my daughter, not this one, I don't want her to feel like she's being revealed out without knowing it, but a different daughter was choosing a sin that I had chosen, and she was being defiant in it like I was, and I just laid into her with so much legalism and so much, here's where it's going to go bad, and here's where you're going to get hurt, and here's where you're going to, it undid our relationship in a negative, negative way. And I think for me, one of the things Stu said in that living room session, I wrote it down. When I was listening, I listened back over it last night, and it said, one of the things Stu said was, let love do the work. And I really thought about that. Like, my judgment, I could try to fix and cajole. I love that word, use cajole. But my truth that the Holy Spirit was bringing into me was, can I love a person right where they are? Can I? And can I just love them and let God do the work? And as he transforms me, I can do that truth more and more. And and another thing you said was speaking the truth is earned. And I learned that lesson. And that has been powerful in this series for me.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. That was sweet. Yeah. Thank you, Ed. Both of you. That's good stuff. And we're going to give a couple more chances for people to share. John?
Yeah.
I'll give you a chance.
Thanks, man. This series changed the way I preach. I've preached this entire series from a chair and standing up without a pulpit, and I loved it. I just felt like I was more the real me preaching, and now I don't know what to do. The next series, I'll probably go back to the pulpit and be boring again, but I had a nice little run there. The second is the disappointment in the series, probably the most or number two thing that people wanted to talk about was sexuality. And I so much wanted us to do that. We so much wanted us to do it. And I think we had a vision for it. And as it got close, I got scared. We all wanted this to bring us all into the same boat. And I ended up being afraid that it would cause us to jump off the boat and that we would separate from each other. And so we don't know how to do it yet. And I want to apologize because I think I had so much confidence that we could do this in a way, and we weren't ready to. So some of us are ready, but I know that I need to do my homework a lot better before we can do this. So that's all I want to say is don't give up on us in that, those who have asked for that. But that was, I think, listening to the Holy Spirit, but also a disappointment at the same time.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Amidst that process for us, especially on our Tuesdays and weeks preceding us beginning week one in this, that was one of the places we were drawn to, sexuality and the gospel. I know one of the pieces for me, that one of the most major ones amidst this, was feeling the confidence and clarity that God was inspiring. My response, I am inspired and challenged with the great work that we have before us, because God is without question going to use us, Open Door, in the learning that we have before us of how we influence in that space of sexuality and the gospel. And you guys, we don't know how to talk about it well. We have some learning and growing up to do in it, and God has some great things to tell us and to grow us up as a body with a voice in that space. And it drew me so powerfully into the space in the scripture. I love Eugene Peterson's piece on it at the end, that the world is peripheral, but I'm taken in as you were teaching, John, on the full passage recently and looking at NASB, where it says, he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, us, you guys. If you're in this room and you put your faith in Christ for salvation, then he's already completed everything that is in you to be the influence into that peripheral voice that the world has about sexual persuasion, identity, gender, pick your persuasion in that. We're the ones that have the central voice of God's design in that space, and we have some growing up to do in it. So I was inspired with the challenge that we've got some learning to do, and I don't know if it's a handful of months or years, before we're prepared to know all the ones that God is awakening to give voice to that in that space, but he's going to be using Open Door in that area.
Jason, I'm also concerned that you guys have what we really want to get to most.
We can just go till 2 or 3 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
We'll get some snacks. I want Amy to get her time to share. Do you want this?
I think that we are a people, a society that we love to check things off quickly and feel like we've accomplished our tasks. And so to stay in one passage of scripture all of these weeks and just sit and stay and remain in it and let it percolate through has been really life-changing for me. And without even discerning what work the Holy Spirit is doing in me, I would be at Walmart and have lost my phone and start to panic, and into my head would pop, "He has the final say on everything." And to relax and to think, you know, raising my kids in the world that we're raising our kids in, and to go, but not just for the time being, but forever. To have these truths without even my trying, except that we stood here every Sunday and repeated them together. To have them be transforming my mind, forming my affections, diffusing my fears, it just really encourages me to do that more often. I'd love for us to do it as a body again, where we pick one chunk of scripture we just soak in it. Yeah. But definitely encouraging my own desire to be in the Word, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, because it is God-breathed, useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting me, for training me in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Good stuff. Thank you, Amy. Something pounding in someone's heart out there that they want to share for 60 seconds? Julie? I saw your hand go. Was a little...
Well, I just have something to say, so I don't know.
Right. Can you do it in 60 or 80 seconds?
Probably I can. Okay. Yes, I teach second graders, so you got to make it fast. I just was sitting and thinking about, like, there's pieces of the verse that have stuck out to me in lots of variety of ways that have just encouraged me. And this year, this school year, has been really rough for me in the idea that I was a team leader on a new team and was expected to bring them together. My brother died in the midst of that. And then my relationship with my father has been really tricky and falling apart. And so just a lot of loss, and then expected to sort of lead people too. And so just the idea that there was endless energy and boundless strength that came from Jesus, that's the only place I could go. And the times that I was just like driving to school, I'm like, literally, God, I cannot do today. I cannot do today on my own. And somehow I would make it through through his strength. And even like in the political climate and everything, and that, well, this looks really crazy and looks really weird and I don't really know what to do with it. And that he has the final say on everything.
Yes.
And that everybody, no matter whether they believe it or not, or they agree with it or not, or they think that it's true, he has the final say.
Amen.
And that I am not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to me. I am the church, and that I stand in Jesus, and that whatever they're saying around me, that's outside of me, and that I can stand here and do this. And I'm not saying that I do it perfectly every day, and struggle with, I am in the midst of depression and not knowing what to do with that too, but just there's every, throughout there, make me intelligent and discerning and knowing what you want me to do, God. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to handle this? Where do you want me to serve in the church? What are you doing in me? Like, just continually ongoing, living, breathing every day and helping me survive every day.
Oh, thank you.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mike, I'll just keep bringing the mics. You just sit there and just relax. It's all right. I'll do the work.
Okay. I think I lost track of the church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church for a long, long time. And not in every instance, but a lot. And it just doesn't matter what your circumstances are, your family dynamic, or anything else. He can take care of it through these verses right here. He can take care of all of it. And what John just shared a few minutes ago, my oldest son is gay, and it took me 17 years to see that the church you see is not peripheral to the world, the world is peripheral to the church, for me to accept and to be able to say out loud and love my son dearly, 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 because he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I can do that because I asked God, the master of Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to teach me this through these verses and through this church.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen. Wow. Okay, last one.
Wow, you guys are hopping.
Oh, goodness. Hello? Hello? Okay. Do I have to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, for me, I'm struggling with, I'm getting a divorce at the moment, and it's been a very, very emotional issue, but I've learned from John Lynch's family how to be a parent and all of that. I'm learning how to be a parent, a single mom, and not having that childhood of having family, so I have nothing to go off of. Yeah. Your stories have changed my family, my relationship with me and my daughter so much. And I feel like since that message, me and her have been both very happy with each other.
Wow.
One of our thoughts for how we wanted to end this was interesting. Julie and Joanne both shared the church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Yeah. The church is Christ's body. And when we read that part, I could just see Shannon getting excited because that's, you know that, and you live that out so beautifully. You believe that for us even when we don't.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. John sent me this in the middle of this series, and it came from someone else, but it is a declaration that we would hope would be true of us. So I want to read this for us, and then Stu and I have some things that we want to kind of share back and forth. So this is what we would truly hope as we go forward, to continue to be true and to find new ways for this to be true about our body right here. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, gay, confused, filthy rich, comfortable, or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to wailing babies and excited toddlers. We welcome you, whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit moms, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery. We're still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't like organized religion. We're not that keen on it either. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because Granny is visiting and wanted to come to the cathedral. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, both, or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now. Had religion shoved down their throat as kids or got lost in the city center and wound up here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, doubters, and you.
Amen. Let it be so.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We will put it up there. Yes, yes, yes.
We wanted to spend a few minutes talking about the very last part of this passage that we've been looking at. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. One of the principles in Scripture is that God has always had in the world what theologians call a theocratic representative. That is to say, someone who illustrates to the world the fact that God rules. Theocracy means that God is in charge. from theos for God and kratos, which is authority or power or rulership. So the fact that we are Christ's theocratic representatives in the world today is important. In the Old Testament, in patriarchal times, for instance, men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were that. Under the Mosaic covenant, it was the nation Israel as his kings and priests. And in this present age, it is the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What an incredible truth that is.
Yeah.
That we are the people of God. We are the ones through whom God is acting in this world today. That's us.
Yeah.
We ought to get excited about that.
Yeah, Jason. And how we see ourselves in that relationship
right.
is paramount. It's absolutely essential. The church has gotten and is getting, continues to get a bad rap out on the street.
Gee, what a shock.
And yet it's still around. It is still God's chosen vessel
Amen.
To bear fruit and advance the kingdom. It is still how he has chosen to do it. And fruit, Jesus' great desire, John 15:8, that the Father would be glorified and you would bear much fruit.
That's right.
That God actually wants to be glorified. He wants to be full of joy, and we are the ones who get to bring that to him. So we get to live it out firsthand in real HD, 4K quality, as real as it gets.
Real life.
And it's not Open Door Fellowship Church only. It's big church.
Amen.
It's all the body, all the believers around the entire continent that is being referenced here in this passage. Every time we choose to trust in the way of Jesus, we get to expand this original vision of the church.
Sure.
Every time we give hope to a friend, we keep the church going. Every time that we do that, we live out that the world is peripheral to us, the church. The world is watching us, and they should be. We have hope.
Amen.
We have the mystery of Christ embedded in us. Every time we sing out at the top of our lungs or write something new, we announce that the church still has purpose. When you sit and listen with a friend, you get to give away the love of Christ. When you choose the way of kindness to your cutthroat coworker, love wins, and that's fruit. When patience wins out instead of exasperated anger towards your kids, fruit is growing and spreading. When you give your time to set up for an event, or to love kiddos in our classroom, or bring coffee, that servant-heartedness is bearing fruit and displaying your love heart that grows God's church. When you invite someone over for a meal in your home, you're living out the church. When you put on the jacket of hope as opposed to the jacket of bitterness, you are choosing to believe that Jesus' promise to us is still true today. You Amen. Are displaying how vital the church is. Still is, and the hope that all men and all women would be saved. Amen. That the ones right here in this room are the ones who will multiply and expand and continue to grow the church.
Amen. You know, it reminds me that the truth is, as Paul says here, that what God is doing in the world today, he is doing through his church. When he says here that he speaks and acts, what he's saying is that he is speaking and acting through us, through what we do, what we say. The enormity of this shouldn't be lost on us. We are his hands that touches people's lives and ministers to their deepest needs. We are his feet with which he travels to the places of great need. We are his voice with which he speaks grace and truth into the hearts and minds of people. We are his very presence with which he blesses the weary and war-torn world in which we live. That is, we are it. We are the ones who show the world what he is like. That's our job. You know,
yeah.
It's so fascinating. What God does in this world, he does primarily through us, his church. When Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are ambassadors for Christ, he's not just talking through his hat. He's saying you represent a foreign entity in this world. You are citizens of heaven. You are citizens of God's kingdom, and you're representing that kingdom to the world around you. Mm. That's what we are.
Right.
That's who we are. And that ought to excite us.
Yeah.
It ought to turn us on to say we get the opportunity to be his light in this world. You had something to say about lights.
Light. You referenced lampstand a few minutes ago, I think it was, in your sharing. And so this thought hit me this week of the lampstand, that it just seems like the lampstand. I mean, there's a lamp and one lamp, but it feels... all you need is one. You just need one. It seems like it could be a churchy word. It could be one of those, the lampstand. And Exodus 25, make a lampstand out of gold and make it hammered and cups and bulbs. I mean, there's detail in how to make this first lampstand. But we are under a new covenant. We are in a new day. And so there is much, much, much freedom. But we have been given this figurative language of a lampstand. It's ours here at Open Door to carry and to continue and to steward and guard. It's a gift to us and one that we get to keep giving away.
Yes.
We get to keep giving it away.
Yeah.
And here, we keep growing in our understanding of how to live out this grace-soaked identity and relationship with each other.
Yeah.
We're all growing in it. As much as John articulates it everywhere, he's still growing in it. Oh. I'm still growing in it. We're still learning how to say it and how to live it and what it plays out like
for
each of us.
Jason, I was just thinking, as you guys are talking, it can be intimidating saying, I'm not ready to give it. But part of what we give is how we deal with our failure.
Absolutely.
It's how we deal with how we hurt each other and messed it up. They're watching us to see how we do that, you know, so we're not even peripheral in that.
Yes.
And that I can do really well.
Right.
Here's how I messed up.
Right. We continue to long to be a place where we're not just giving lip service to a place that the worst of you can be known.
That's right.
And you'd find in that not shunning or guilt or being kicked out or manipulated, you'd find more love than you could ever find before. Because it has to do with light. It has to do
Absolutely.
With the lampstand and shining the light. And if we went over and over and over, 1 John 7, if we went to 1 Timothy 6:16, there's the idea of the light that Christ put in us that we get to keep being to everybody. You were about to interrupt me.
I was. The cool thing, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, The lampstands that are there represent the seven churches to whom Christ is sending these messages.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, he is walking among them. It is so easy for us to forget that or to miss the significance of that, that we are the lampstands, but what we're doing is showing his light to the world because he is in us, he is with us in that process. And we ought to just get so excited about that. That we shouldn't be on the defense. What are we defending? We have the truth of God in us. And the world ought to be on the defense because Christ's truth is in us and we have the opportunity of being that lampstand in a terribly dark world. Just terribly dark.
And we're actually, in a sense, stewarding Jesus.
Absolutely.
And we are bringing not the stuffy, hands folded with an angel thing over picture of Jesus, but this wild and safe and grace-filled and inviting and passionate and question-asking and freedom-proclaiming Jesus. That's
Amen. That's
what we are bringing and stewarding. And truly, every time we do this table, which we do every Sunday, every time that we pause, it gives us a chance to be renewed, to be refreshed, to have our horizons expanded in what it looks like to practically live out Jesus. Mm-hmm.